This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Signature support is from First Financial Tax and Accounting Services. And we thank our signature sponsor for joining us not only throughout the week on WRKF, but on Fridays we are now heard not only on the flagship station in Baton Rouge, but also on the great WWNO in New Orleans, serving New Orleans public radio listeners for more than half a century. Friday politics, and we start with one of the veteran politicos. It was in his blood. His dad was the longtime head of the Republican Party before it became the preeminent force in Louisiana politics. Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser is with us, and there is much to talk with him about. If you'd like to join the conversation, 877-217-5757. Producer Robin Dow is waiting for your call, 877-217-5757. Send emails, if you will, to talk@talklouisiana.org. Good morning, Billy Nungesser.
Good morning, my friend. How are you this morning?
I'm doing well. It's nice to hear your distinctive voice. Well, yesterday you were in Baton Rouge, and let's start there. An unveiling of a civil rights marker that is certainly long overdue, 63 years ago. In the teeth of the movement in America, seven black students from Southern University sat down at the Crest department store, downtown Baton Rouge, and it was an act of defiance. The counter was reserved for whites only. They were escorted out of the restaurant, and it's hard to believe that that was in the span. We were both very young, but that's in our lifetime, Billy Nungesser. And yesterday, you can never make do for what is wrong, but there is a historic marker now that was unveiled on Thursday. Tell us more.
Yeah, it was, it was great that we could have some of the family members there, that those seven students that bravely walked in and sat at that counter are now being recognized, and their story is being told through the Civil Rights Trail. And people walking down the street now see that marker and knew that building, what happened there. So, it's good that we're able to highlight these brave heroes of that era all over Louisiana. And we've uncovering more and more stories and occurrences as we go. And just in the short period of time we've done this, we only had one marker on the national trail. Didn't have a marker up, just on the recognizing the National Civil Rights Trail. And just over the last 2 years, they've added 9 sites to that trail in Louisiana. And as we go, we feel that Louisiana sites and occurrences will overtake any other state. And a lot of those movements started right here in Louisiana.
Billy Nungesser is our guest, as he is about once a month, and we're pleased that he covers the bases with us. He's head of tourism, and in New Orleans, we have had a rash of carjackings, of course, but also the murder rate has spiked upward. It's still not where it was in the mid-90s, but it's much higher than it was a couple of years ago. What does that do to tourism?
It's hurting. I was asked about it when I went before the legislative committee to talk about my budget. And, just yesterday, outside of our museums in Jackson Square, there's a bunch of homeless camped out right in front of the museum in that beautiful Jackson Square. And, between that, the cleanliness and the look, it's no secret. And I never go on national TV and talk about the crime problem. I only talk about positive things. But if we don't address it and really come together and fix it, you'll see conventions canceling. I know a lot of Louisianans don't go to New Orleans. And as I said in committee, I didn't say Galatoire's was closing. But my fear is that one day, one of these restaurants, Revolutions, Galatoire's, all these great restaurants that people come from all over the world to visit in the quarter, said enough is enough. And so if we don't address it soon and really crack down, it's going to be too late. And it's to that point right now. We get more people complain about everything from the cracked streets, they can't cross the street without falling in it, to the cleanliness, to the people begging on the corners, to the crime, then we get people saying, I had a great time in New Orleans. And we just need to address it and fix it.
It is a quandary, no doubt. And sometimes things get worse before they get better. And much attention has been directed at the mayor of New Orleans, LaToya Cantrell. What were your thoughts about her surviving the recall effort?
Well, you know, I think it was a great effort, and I'd support legislation that says it's very difficult to recall anyone. And I'd support legislation that says if 400,000 people voted to elect me, and it needs a third of those people sign a petition to recall me, not a third of registered voters, because that's almost impossible. So if we made that a little bit more easy to achieve, it would make all politicians and public servants a little bit more doing their job and addressing the problems as they occur. And hopefully we can see some legislation to tighten it, to make it a little easier to recall someone if the people aren't happy with them.
A listener notes, Lieutenant Governor Nunn Gesser, that even though you've had your differences, and others have as well, with the mayor of New Orleans, if an election were held tomorrow, she might very well win again. I think she remains popular in some quarters in New Orleans, and she is a person, as we've shown, as if nothing else, she is resilient.
Well, and you know, listen, that's been my whole thing about the possibility of us taking the French Quarter and managing it outside of the city, with park ranges where we can fix the streets, put cameras in every streetlight, and make it safe. Because there's not enough voters in the French Quarter to make anyone wake up and attend to it the way it needs to be attended. You know, I committed, if I open an office in the back of the Cabildo and have staff there trying to push to get things done, from garbage pickup to fixing the cracked streets, and we're on that every day because we know that has a great impact on tourism statewide. But it needs the attention. It ought to be like Nashville. It ought to be like some of these places where the live music, it's clean. There's someone on the corner with a smile. We offered up some tourism money for friendly offices to help direct people and carry a radio, and if they see a crime or something, to call the police. We offered some money to do that. So it really needs that kind of care to bring it back to life what it used to be.
877-217-5757. We will take a call or two for Governor Nunn Gesser, Lieutenant Governor Nunn Gesser, before we part company. But you mentioned your budget. We do have a legislative session in the offing, and the Lieutenant Governor's budget was cut mightily in austere times. These are better times as far as the state's finances, but does your budget reflect that?
Yeah, I think, you know, we've asked pretty much, we're not asking for anything that we didn't get last year. We're a little bit more money in some of the state park. Everything we're asking for, we return a value. We've got 7 state parks making money now, and through our private-public partnership, I see a day when not only do our parks not need tax dollars, we can generate millions of dollars for culture, recreation, and tourism all over Louisiana, much like other states do. So we're tweaking the private-public partnership because some of the things we wanted to do, the administration didn't think we had the authority to do, so we're going back to get that tweaked so we can do naming rights and things to bring in additional monies where we don't have to use tax dollars to run our parks. They can generate millions for Louisiana.
Brad in New Orleans. Brad, you're on with Lieutenant Governor Billy Nunn Gesser.
Hey, thank you so much. I wanted to ask the Lieutenant Governor, New Orleans generates the money for tourism in the state disproportionately. Given the analogy of his voting example, why can't New Orleans get a disproportionate amount of money to do the repairs necessary?
Good question from Brad. Your response, Governor?
Yeah, well, first off, they generate a lot of tax dollars in New Orleans. And I'm sure they don't spend all the money generated in the quarter. I don't know that for a fact. But we also, there's a lot of people in the state legislature. I'm not speaking for the legislature, but I'm just telling you from what I've gathered, is they don't have a lot of confidence in the money they send to New Orleans gets spent for the greater good. And a great example of that is we've had to get congressmen our senators and congressmen to extend a lot of the money that's there for the infrastructure improvements from even Katrina that hasn't been spent. And so they need some management help in getting this money, and people can see results in the money they're actually getting. You know, they patched the street by the museum hundreds of times instead of resurfacing. They spend more money patching than resurfacing the whole street. We've got to do things in a cost-effective way with the money we do spend, and I don't think that's being done right now in New Orleans.
877-217-5757. We're going to take a short pause, and we will continue for another segment with Lieutenant Governor William Harold Nungesser. In 2019, he received more votes in the primary than any other Louisiana elected official, and he is running for re-election, and we will be talking with him about much more in the next segment. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. Robin Dow is producing, and your number is 877-217-5757. Billy Nungesser, Lieutenant Governor, is with us for a bit longer, and we want to thank our audience in New Orleans and WWNO joining the audience from WRKF for Friday Politics. Patrice in New Orleans. Patrice, you're on Talk Louisiana.
Thank you. It's so good to hear the Lieutenant Governor's voice and what you've shared. I am calling from Bayou Saguenay State Park. This is the most fabulous park with a fabulous price, and you're doing an excellent job with this park. And I just want to comment on crime. You cannot be expected as Lieutenant Governor to solve the crime problem in general.
All right, Governor, would you respond?
Yeah, well, I want to help, and that's why I've tried to refrain from criticizing any one person, but trying to point out all of the things that I see. You know, we let a lot of people that plead down on a crime, and then we say, well, they're not a violent offender because they plead down, but they might have been arrested for a violent crime. And so I think we need to look at who we're letting out before they're actually rehabilitated. And then some of these people that have been arrested one, two, and three dozen times need to not get back out until they rehabilitated. And I don't know what rehabilitation takes, but I don't think the people on the streets, the tourists and residents should pay the price for these people that continue to get let out of jail. And I think that's one of the big problems that the prosecutions need to look at. So it's not just the mayor. It's keeping the, you know, look, 80% of the crime, they say, is committed by 20% of the criminals. They just keep getting back out doing it again.
877-217-5757. And I think it would be an act of journalistic misconduct if I did not ask you about the indictment of former President Trump. Your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, I don't know all the details of what the charges are. I wasn't in the grand jury. But is it a stretch? And I really don't know. And I think there's so much hype over whether what he did was a crime or not. And it's unfortunate anytime a president gets negative publicity. I just kind of hope it would all go away, because we got to focus on the future and try to work together in Washington. It's just, it's not good for the country. Mm-hmm. And especially with all the turmoil in the world today, it's not good for America.
Well, Attorney General Landry is very close to the former president. And 4 years ago, Donald Trump came to Louisiana three times to campaign for Eddie Rasponi. And my guess is that if he were asked, he would campaign for General Landry. But with this cloud hanging over him now, does that make that less practical for General Landry or anybody else who wants to latch on to Donald Trump's coattails?
I would say yes, but you'd have to ask those candidates themselves if that would or not. But, I think any surely it will make them a little, I would think, a little cautious.
And for those who say, why would Eddie Rasponi rely on President Trump to try to get him over the top against John Bel Edwards. Put this in perspective. That was a Freudian slip. John Bel Edwards won in 2019 with fewer than 800,000 votes. Donald Trump in 2020, 1 year later, got more votes than anybody in the history of Louisiana. And when I say more votes, 1,255,776. He won by 399,000 votes over Joe Biden. And obviously in Louisiana, with a base of support, he remains extremely popular. And that base, of course, is largely conservative and Republican. So Republican candidates will be cautious in criticizing Donald Trump if they're looking at polls, and most politicians do. Marie on Bluebonnet in Baton Rouge. Marie, you're on with Governor Billy Nungesser.
Hi. I just wanted to say that I'm a staunch Democrat, but if Billy Nungesser ran for governor, I would vote for him because of everything that he's done for the state since Hurricane Katrina. And so I'm very disappointed that he's not running. I wish he would run for governor because he definitely would be a better candidate than the other Republicans out there.
Well, you almost did it. You almost did it, and you still could.
Well, I thank you. That touches my heart and means the world to me. It was one of the toughest decisions that I've ever had to make. But with so many people in the middle, just like Jay Darden and Scott Angel got crucified by David Vitter and ended up middling them out, Eddie Rasponi told things about Ralph Abraham and got him. And Ralph Abraham said, I'm not going to lie to get elected. My integrity is worth more than me. And I won't lie to get elected. And I just knew that my character and things were going to be said about me that weren't true. And I'd be middled out with the rest of the family. Plus, I feel an obligation to get us back to those record-breaking numbers in tourism for the mom-and-pop shops that need the next 2 or 3 years of good numbers to make it, in a good year, some businesses fail. We need to help every community get back to where they were before COVID, and I really want to do that and work hard to make that happen this year.
James in Metairie, you're on with Billy Nungesser. Hello, James.
Good morning. Good morning, Mr. Nungesser. Real quick observation and then two questions. I had the occasion to go down to the convention center in New Orleans last weekend, and the homeless encampment there is unbelievable. I could not believe what I saw. I thought it was bad under the Claiborne I-10. Questions. What is the status of your effort in the past to have the state have a entertainment or control the French Quarter district? Is that still alive and operating? And number two, what can the state do, if anything, to do this horrible with the tourists see down by the convention center? And thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much. First off, my short answer to the homeless thing was to take that area under the internet, put a screen up with some Mardi Gras floats on it, and if they want to be down there, they got to be inside of there. Put a couple portal X just to get them off of the eyesore, because Disney Cruise Line has already said these people coming in town to get on the cruise boat, that's the only impression they're getting of our city and our state. So that's horrible. Secondly, our proposal to the mayor to manage the quarter separately from the city included a piece of land outside the quarter where a private investor was putting up $1.5 million to take all of the homeless there, have a medical facility, and get them, not allow them to camp out on the streets. And there's been ordinances in other cities that have said if it's a safety issue, a health issue, which it is, because they're it's not healthy, that they can remove them. And I don't think you're going to see a lot of action until after this election. Our bill that didn't get introduced to take management of the quarter, I plan to go to the city council and have an open discussion about it. It won't happen in this election year, but hopefully next year we can see some legislation to get a handle around it. I know that doesn't help us in the short term, and we need some short-term help because it is. And look, we got a Super Bowl next year, and I can't imagine people coming to town for any convention or anything and seeing this.
Carolyn Jefferson, you got to be real concise, but you're on with Billy Nungesser.
Yes. I think if the state's got money to take over, they need to help the government that the people of New Orleans elected, not the ones that they didn't vote for. We do not need a situation like they got in Jackson. That looks real ugly.
All right. What about perception and that sort of thing as far as what's going on in the great city of New Orleans?
Yeah, I think, well, and that's why I try to work with the mayor and all the elected officials that are there, because talking about it and just throwing rocks does nobody good. But I'll go back to saying Baton Rouge is, in my opinion, is very hesitant on sending money to the city knowing it's going to be spent in the right.
All right, we've got to roll, but Governor Nungesser, always a pleasure. We'll catch up next month, and we've got a second half hour to go. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. Robin Dow is our producer, and it's Friday Politics on WRKF and WWNO. 877-217-5757 is your number. Mark Ballard of The Advocate and Picayune is now poised in the Beltway. Normally at this time of the year, he would be ready to cover the legislative session, and he'll still be following it, but he'll be doing it in a different venue, and there's much happening on Capitol Hill, as we know. And let's start with Steve Scalise. His energy bill got through the House. Now it faces tough sledding in the Senate, and the president almost certainly would veto it if it got to his desk. But Scalise won round one. What does that mean, if anything, Mark?
Well, yes, it does have a tough row to hoe going over to the Senate, whose leadership already has said that it's dead on arrival, and the president, who has, or at least his administration, has indicated that he's going to veto it. But Scalise himself was heartened by the fact that there were four Democratic representatives, not, you know, one from Maine, one from Washington State, not oil-producing states, that supported H.R. 1, and only one Republican voted no. So for him, that indicates that there's a possibility of being able to persuade enough senators. He only needs three over there, I think. Well, no, he'll need 11 because they have because of the rules of the Senate. And he thinks that he might be able to get 11 Democratic senators. We'll see. Mm-hmm. That's the fight for the next rest of the year.
The other day, in his eighth year as governor, John Bel Edwards finally revealed what many thought, that he is against the death penalty and presumably would not allow capital punishment to be imposed on his watch if he had to make a call, as governors do. There's a red phone, or there used to be, in the death chamber, and the governor calls seconds before the scheduled execution. It's over if the governor says stop it. But this governor, for a while, he wouldn't reveal it, and all of a sudden he says, I don't think it's the right thing. Was that a surprise in any way to you, Mark?
No, because the governor is a ardent practicing Roman Catholic, and the Vatican is against the death penalty. And so I'm not surprised by it. Will it get through the legislature? That they've tried it before and it hasn't really gained much traction. A lot of the law and order people in the legislature don't want to be on record as getting rid of the death penalty, even though right now under the under the law is that they have to administer the death penalty using drugs which are unavailable because the pharmaceutical industry is against the death penalty and won't sell them those drugs. If they were really for the death penalty, what we would see is a bill that would change the way that the executions are administered to maybe, you know, a firing line or something like that. But they haven't done that either. So I imagine that it'll end up being just kind of this sort of amorphous situation that we've been having for the last 10, 15 years.
We're visiting with Mark Ballard of The Advocate and Picayune, and he writes a Sunday column on Louisiana politics, and this is Politics Friday on WRKF and WWNO. Now, Mark, last week you were talking, writing about Bill Cassidy, the senior Louisiana U.S. Senator, trying to stop Joe Biden for forgiving about $400 billion in student loan debt. Now, I looked yesterday, and the amount of student loan debt in the United States is $1.8 trillion. In fact, it exceeds credit card debt by $500 billion. But $400 billion, still a lot of money, and Bill Cassidy says it's not wisely spent, and the president's on the wrong track. This is already before the U.S. Supreme Court. It would affect 650,000 people in Louisiana, even though we have TOPS. But why is Bill Cassidy taking the lead on this?
Well, he is the ranking member of the Senate Health Committee, it was what it's called, but it basically covers health and education and pension type of issues in the U.S. Senate. So that's one reason why he's on the lead. The Republicans are way against this idea of student loan debt forgiveness. And I mean, you need to keep in mind that program is not aimed at you and me. It's aimed at people coming from low income families that had to take out loans to go to college. But they're against it, and that's why I think Cassidy's taking the lead on this. Mm-hmm.
And a listener has accurately noted that Senator Cassidy, despite being wary of taxpayer dollars being spent on this, he has logged a career courtesy of the taxpayers. He worked for many years as a doctor at Earl K. Long. He worked at Charity Hospital in New Orleans, and then he was a state senator and a U.S. House member, now a U.S. senator. So the taxpayers have been very good to Bill Cassidy.
Well, I think that he would argue that that was a good use of taxpayer dollars.
Of course. Of course.
So, and you know, I mean, he probably could have made far more money out as in private practice than he made working at the Earl and at a charity hospital. So, I mean, it's not a clear-cut argument in my mind.
877-217-5757. And if you get a busy signal, be patient. We've got some folks waiting in line to talk with Mark Ballard. So let's go to as many of you as we can. And please be concise. Mike in Goodwood, Baton Rouge, Old Goodwood. Mike Wolf, good morning, sir.
Yes, hello. I've got a question for Mark Ballard. Mark, in business, an individual or a company is said to default on its debt when it can't make its loan payments as they become due. Now, for the federal government, debt service is no more than about 10% of its revenues. So why did you in yesterday's paper report that if the government doesn't raise its debt ceiling, it will default on its loans by this summer?
Well, because it's true. And actually, I didn't report that yesterday. But it is true that basically that they cannot borrow money, and it looks like it'll be the end of June, July, that's what they're looking at, that they will not be able to raise enough money to pay off their debts. And that is going to be a big issue when they come back from Easter recess. The Republicans and the Democrats, primarily the president, are trying to negotiate a way that they can raise that debt ceiling.
Patrick in Ennisswald Estates in Baton Rouge. Patrick, you're on with Mark.
Hey, I remember when George Bush was president, they made fun of him all the time on TV and Saturday Night Live. They used to make fun of Trump. They're still making fun of Trump. But, you know, the school shooting, I mean, 4 hours after the school shooting, President Biden has a press conference, and the first thing he jokes about is ice cream. He has a dementia, you know, look of dementia.
All right. Here we go again. Joe Biden's a lot of things, but he doesn't have a cognitive impairment that keeps him from doing his job. You just don't like his politics, Patrick. That's apparent. And Biden is in favor of a ban on assault weapons. Our congressional delegation is not. Mark, is that going to change?
Well, the ice cream issue was a big deal on Capitol Hill. There was a lot of argument among the Republicans trying to link George W. Bush being informed about the terrorist attack in New York on the World Trade Center, with Biden eating ice cream a few hours after the shooting in Nashville. Throughout the entire week, I mean, I think that Mr. Scalise's energy bill was the main topic of conversation, but it got supplanted by this effort to renew more gun control restrictions on Capitol Hill. The Democrats are wanting more gun control, and the Republicans are against it. And so that it is a major issue. It became the issue of the week last week, or this week.
And other than the congressman from New Orleans, Troy Carter, other than him, Mike Johnson and Garrett Graves and Steve Scalise and Julia Letlow and Clay Higgins and Senators Cassidy and Kennedy, my guess is that they still like assault weapons and like them a lot. And it was Cassidy who said we need them to take out varmints and rodents, that they're a necessary force in that regard, Mark.
Yes, they do say that.
Nutria, yeah.
And I don't know. I've hunted all my life and never found the need for an AR-15 to do so. But, you know, that is what they're saying. I think they're looking more at a slippery slope. The Democrats are talking about pushing, you know, expanded background checks and outlawing these automatic weapons. And speaking to Mr. Carter, who is a gun owner, who has a concealed carry permit, is a hunter, and he's saying that, well, that's kind of a low bar, but it's a way to start the conversation.
877-217-5757. And of course, yesterday in New York, the president, former president Donald Trump, was indicted in a town where he did not even get to 10% in the last election. And today on Morning Edition, a case was made by a former prosecutor that Trump may ask for a change of venue, Mark, based on the fact that he did so poorly in elections in New York City. He doesn't think he could get a fair trial, and the guy says he may actually have a case. That would be an interesting case, wouldn't it?
I think we're going to see a whole lot of these legal gambits in the next few months as the president tries, or the former president attempts, to kind of mitigate the damage caused by being the first president ever to be indicted on criminal charges.
877-217-5757. Another quarter hour after this. This is Jim Engster, and thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. And when Billy Nungesser stops by on our show, as he did earlier today, he has a travel bag with all kinds of goodies from his department that is available to a listener who asked the trivia question. And Robin Dow has come up with this one, a good one. I mentioned that former President Donald Trump received more votes than anybody in Louisiana history in 2020 when he ran for re-election and got 1,255,776 votes in Louisiana. He lost the overall vote in America by more than 7 million votes, but he did win by 399,000 in Louisiana over Joe Biden. Which parish gave Donald Trump more votes than any other parish? You get it right, you get the travel gift from Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser. 877-217-5757. Jim in Denham Springs. Jim, you're on with Mark. Good morning, Jim.
Hi. Good morning. My question is, what would having a national insurance requirement for gun ownership, how could that help solve our problem and take it out of the hands of legislators where, you know, we use the fiduciary risk. We use actuaries that calculate risk every day to decide, you know, who should and who should not possibly have a gun and whether or not they were a good risk.
Insurance for weapons. We have to have them for cars. Why not weapons, Mark Ballard?
I don't know. I mean, that might be a way to go.
But that one, of course, on the surface, it's certainly worthy of discussion. But as we know, to get something like that passed could be a Herculean effort. But thanks for the idea, and We're looking for ideas to solve this scourge of mass shootings, over 130 of them in the United States just 3 months into 2023. Matthew in New Orleans, you're on with Mark. Good morning, Matthew.
Morning. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing fine, sir.
Okay. I was just going to get the parish.
Okay. All right. Which parish is it?
Jefferson Parish.
Jefferson Parish. You hold on, Matthew. You got it right. Jefferson Parish gave Donald Trump 105,949 votes, and Donald Trump beat Joe Biden in Jefferson Parish by 21,000 votes. To show you how different things are in the New Orleans metro area in St. Tammany, Trump won by 62,000 votes over Biden. But in Orleans Parish, $117,854 to $26,664. So Biden and Kamala Harris won by 91,000 votes over Donald Trump in Orleans Parish. But Matthew, you hold on, and I'm sure Billy Nungesser will be happy to present you the travel gift from his office. Let's go to Aaron in New Orleans. Aaron with an E. Good morning, Aaron. You're on Talk Louisiana with Mark Ballard.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I am a mother of a one-year-old baby girl in New Orleans, and I am very upset by the shooting that happened this week, as well as all the previous shootings that our country has experienced. And I just, when you guys started talking about the ice cream, it kind of put me over the edge to make this call, because I think that it's kind of ridiculous that people are focusing on that when children are being murdered. And it's really upsetting to me, because we've been paying for a private babysitter instead of sending her to daycare, because I'm afraid that something bad's going to happen. And I wanted to be on the record saying this. I think that assault weapons need to be banned, and I think that more things need to happen to as roadblocks to prevent people from accessing these lethal weapons that were invented for warfare. And the damage they do to a body, like, it's terrifying. And I think that there needs to be increased, the scope of background checks needs to increase. Red flag laws need to be enacted, and just generally more things need to happen to give someone the privilege of owning firearms in general. But again, I strongly support just an outright ban on assault rifles, weapons, and I'm stumbling over my words. I think that's all for now. I'm sorry.
All right, Aaron. Thanks for your heartfelt comments. And those thoughts are not unique to Aaron. In fact, I think on a majority of the country, and you might even be surprised, it might even be a majority of people in Louisiana, Mark, feel exactly the same way about assault weapons.
I'm under the impression that you're correct about that. Certainly, we've had 131 mass shootings this year alone in the United States. We had 38 of them in just the month of March, that killed 57 people and injured 133 others just in the month of March. None of those shootings took place in, say, Massachusetts, where I have a 2-year-old granddaughter, because Massachusetts has a very strict gun laws, or I don't know if it's because, but Massachusetts does have very strict gun laws you're not allowed to have these kind of automatic weapons, and you have to be have intense background checks and intense registration. I don't know if there's a connection between that, but Louisiana, in the month of March alone, had three mass shootings.
Stuart, downtown Baton Rouge. Stuart, you're on Talk Louisiana, Friday Politics with Mark Ballard.
Well, thank you, Jim, Mark, and the audience. Good morning, as always. Mr. Ballard, related to the disparities of some policemen, particularly the state trooper, quote-unquote, who killed these two innocent children recently or within the last year, getting 300 hours off instead of being indicted for
murder. All right, what's your question, Stuart?
Do you think any of our politicians, politricksters will address this concern, because it is horrible? If you and I did something of this nature, we would be readily indicted.
Mark, is there a disparity when it comes to imposing sanctions, penalties against law enforcement authorities who are bad actors?
Yeah, I would think that I would paraphrase what Congressman Carter says about this, that there is a need for stronger regulation, mm-hmm. but there is also a bigger need of kind of creating a different culture that allows the officers to kind of focus on that minority of officers who act recklessly and kind of to help police their ranks. There is a movement towards more regulation. There is a movement towards changing the culture. It's a huge problem, and they're trying to work on it.
Kevin Cope at LSU sends this message noting that Dane Sherman at SLU, his friend, and both of them appear on this show regularly, has been named as one of the final aspirants for the job as president of SLU, and Kevin notes that it's the first time he knows of a faculty member of local origin who's made the final cut to be in the running to get the job. Wouldn't that be something, Mark?
I think it would be. I think it's good that we, at least in some instances, try to hire locally, because I have found that the Louisiana people understand Louisiana culture and Louisiana ways a lot better than many of the outsiders, who are important for us to progress, but many of the outsiders don't.
Okay. Please be concise. David in Atlanta, you're on Talk Louisiana Friday Politics with Mark Ballard.
Yesterday, a federal district judge in Texas ruled part of Obamacare unconstitutional. If it reaches the Supreme Court, it's upheld. Millions of people will lose coverage. Jeff Landry participated in a lawsuit to do away with Obamacare. Now, 1,000 people receive Obamacare, expanded Medicaid in Louisiana. I would be very hesitant if anyone receiving expanded Medicaid, they'd have to be crazy.
All right, you're rambling a bit, David, but Jeff Landry on the record is against the Affordable Care Act, as is Senator Kennedy, as is Senator Cassidy, but if they were to become governor, would they take it away, something that's been in place now since John Bel Edwards' first day in office, January 11, 2016? Mark, do you think that would be palatable for any governor, considering the budget issues in Louisiana?
Yeah, I'm sure that they would try to cloak that in budget issues. And I think that's why you have an election, and if that's important, then you vote against the candidate that wants to take it away. It would be difficult for any governor to do so, but the governors in Louisiana would have the power, particularly if they're backed by a legislature, the majority of whom also are against the Affordable Care Act. That would be possible.
Well, we thank you for joining us on Friday. Mark will be back next week on Thursday on our show on WRKF. Next Friday, I'm told General Russell Honoré will be stopping by for Friday Politics. He's always provocative. But, Mark, keep up the good work in the Beltway. Always an honor and pleasure.
Talk to you soon. Have a nice weekend.
You too. Signature support for Talk Louisiana is from First Financial Tax and Accounting Services. And a reminder that podcasts are available anytime, 24 hours a day, at WRKF.org or TalkLouisiana.org. For Robin Dow, I'm Jim Inkster. Thank you for listening. Have a great weekend. Stay safe and stay tuned.